Thanks, Greg. Yes, we're backstage with Richard Woodhams. Bravo.
Thank you very much.
It is so great, Richard, to have you back with the orchestra. You retired last August after over 40 years as principal, and there's still no replacement for your position.
Yes, those things are true. It's nice to come back and play this piece because I'm very fond of it. And in fact, it was not played on a subscription concert for my 40-year tenure here. So I think it's a beautiful piece, and I wanted to do it with my wonderful colleagues here. So I'm glad I'm getting this opportunity.
It's great. As you point out, it hasn't been performed in subscription since 1970, and Ormandy recorded it in 1957 with John DeLancey, your teacher.
Yes, that's true. And even preceding that, it was recorded in the 40s with Leopold Stokowski and DeLancey's teacher, Tabateau. Of course, it was on 78, but it was reprinted onto an LP, and it was quite popular for a number of years. And there's something interesting about that recording because Saul Schoenbach was the bassoonist, and he told me that Stokowski gave them 2 days' notice to make that recording, and he said that they actually never sat down and rehearsed it.
Wow, that's amazing, considering the fact that it's so intricate and beautiful and lyrical, but it's like a chamber music within a bigger piece.
Yeah, it's amazing. I guess they didn't have time to rehearse anyway, so, and they were all good players. So.
Well, what was your first experience with the piece?
Actually, I played it as a student at Curtis. We had a woodwind group called the Sartori Woodwind Quintet, and we played it at Gettysburg College. That was the first time I'd ever played it. So my roommate, who's still a good friend of mine, Chuck Holdeman, he's a bassoonist in Philadelphia, and I believe he still has a tape of that concert. So, and then I played it in St. Louis a few times, and we did, as I said, I've done it with some other places, but I play it any opportunity I have. I play it anywhere because I just love the piece so much.
I understand there was some mystery about the piece. It was originally composed for flute, oboe, horn, and bassoon, and then was lost. And when it was discovered, if it was the same piece, it was for oboe, horn, bassoon, and clarinet.
Yes, that's what I understand. And there are different theories about it, and it is a mysterious piece. It was only in the last maybe 50, 60 years that there was some suspicion as to whether it was accepted as a piece of Mozart, and everybody thought it was a great piece. And then there was some doubts raised. It does have some oddities to it that you don't find in Mozart very often. But as I say, the quality of the music is so fine, and I would say particularly the writing for woodwind instruments that Mozart was so adept at. There just wasn't another composer of that time who wrote so skillfully for woodwind instruments.
Could you talk about the oboe part in particular? Does it require a certain kind of reed? Do you have to do circular breathing with it?
No circular breathing. No, it has, I would look for a reed that has a great deal of refinement and that I can play with a relative degree of ease, because much of the writing for the oboe is charming, so it shouldn't sound labored. That's what I go for.
Are there any particular parts where you're playing with your colleagues that are particularly fun or engaging for you?
The whole thing is fun with these people. I should mention we played it 13 times on a tour with Christoph Eschenbach. That goes back to his tenure. It was maybe 10 years ago or more. And we did it in the United States 13 times. So it all came back to us pretty quickly.
With these musicians?
Same people.
Oh, that's great. Well, it was certainly fun to listen to. And how has your time been? You were here for over 40 years. You were in St. Louis for a decade before that. And then you retired last August. What have you been enjoying since then?
Well, I don't have to make as many reeds. That's nice. I feel I can devote myself a little more to my teaching. I still teach at Curtis. It's an adjustment. That's as everybody always says in retirement. And I just thought that was the time to retire. There is a time to retire. If you play an instrument, you love it very much, but you have to think about how things are working. Maybe you feel like you have to work a little bit harder to achieve the same thing, maybe. Or anyway.
We talked before about how the oboe, the word comes from the French, but the instrument probably originated in Greece or the Middle East and evolved from an outdoor instrument, because it can be very loud, mm-hmm. to an indoor instrument where it can be very delicate.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, it has many ancestors, but probably they think it came from the Far East, eventually to Spain because of the Moors, and then so it was a kind of a primitive form. It existed that way for several hundred years, and then the French refined it, and for the courts, that would be in the 17th century, late 17th century, and that's when they found a way to make it a more delicate and responsive instrument.
So do you still find yourself discovering new things about this instrument you've been playing for so many decades?
Absolutely, every day. The other side of the coin is that I find things that are perplexing every day, too.
Well, watching you play the Mozart, it was interesting because your positioning around Yannick was oboe, horn, bassoon, and clarinet, and you really seem to be engaged with all of them, as well as the larger orchestra. This must have been a really fun piece to play.
It really is fun, especially with an orchestra this great and a conductor who's really so sensitive and so, I would use the word simpatico with the soloists. So it's just a marvelous opportunity for me and for my colleagues.
That's great. Well, it's been so great talking with you, Richard. Come back soon.
Oh, thanks very much. I appreciate your sentiments. Thanks. Nice talking to you, Susan.